Welcome to Think Like the Enemy, the podcast where we challenge the conventional wisdom and explore alternative viewpoints on the world's most pressing issues. Your host is Frankie Aviles, and every week he'll be joined by a guest commentator to debate the pros and cons of some of the most controversial and consequential policies and actions in history, even if history is today. From climate change to human rights, from trade wars to cyber attacks, and from democracy to authoritarianism, we'll try to understand the logic, motivations, and implications of the different sides of the argument. Whether you're curious about the complexity and diversity of global politics, or you want to broaden your perspective and critical thinking, this podcast is for you. So tune in and get ready to think like the enemy.
What's going on, everybody? This is your boy Frankie back after a very deserved vacation. And this is season 2, episode 1 of the Undesirables podcast. This season, we have a very interesting lineup. We have some people that are going to be joining us for the actual podcast itself. We're going to have a lot, and I mean a lot, of actual guests that are coming on to talk to us. Last season, we had a very good response from everybody. I thank you sincerely for everything that all of you have done to support this effort. We have, I would say, that a very interesting week for me to take off. It is a week that a lot of things actually happened in the geopolitical spectrum, particularly in the Middle East and the European theater. We have the actual Taiwan earthquake that happened, with the actual tsunami waves coming in, destroying a lot of the actual island. A very unfortunate issue. We have that on top of that. I went to Washington, D.C. with my family, and we couldn't get to the White House because there was an actual Easter egg hunt happening. But when we left, there was an actual protest in front of the White House for people protesting Hamas. And not necessarily Hamas, but they were protesting the efforts of Israel to root Hamas completely out of the Gaza Strip. We see that Russia is having a lot of issues with the actual push of NATO to get Ukraine into its fold. We also see that Joseph Trimmer actually broke a story when it comes to border issues in the state of Texas. We're going to cover all those and a little bit more on this episode. So here we go. For the first actual piece of news is that this happened yesterday on the 3rd of April. And it is basically Iran reportedly telling Israel that it will attack it within the next 48 hours. So we are on day number 2 of this particular push. And we see that in response to Israel's bombing of near the Iranian consulate in Syria that killed numerous high-ranking IRGC members, the CIA has allegedly informed Israel that Iran will attack within the next 48 hours. That is something that shouldn't be news to anybody, in all honesty, because it is something to be expected. And we also see that China actually reported that, and this is from Raw Alerts, says that reports that over 30 Chinese warplanes and 9 naval vessels were detected around Taiwan. That is after the earthquake. This is a clip from the actual, this was last night, the actual streets of Haifa, overrun with people trying to get to the actual shelters because an imminent, you know, issue might have occurred, which is something completely normal in the concept of what's happening. And here's Joseph Trimmer with that other piece of news talking about.
Hello, everybody. I wanted to give you guys an update on the state of Texas allowing people that don't have an ID to vote by using the reasonable impediment declaration form. Turns out that it's not just Texas that does it. The following states have a similar loophole to the voter ID laws, just like Texas. You have Nebraska, South Carolina, and North Carolina. All of these states claim to have strong voter ID laws, but at the same time allow people that don't have an ID to vote by signing one of these forms. In Texas, the election authorities aren't even able to ask you if your declaration makes any sense. They can't ask you questions about your reasonable declaration. They have to take your word for it. It's the same thing in Nebraska. Nobody will challenge this unless they have evidence that somebody else submitted to prove that you are not eligible to vote.
That was from Joseph Trimmer. He's been doing a lot of investigation on this subject, and we thank him for his actual efforts. It is something that is not surprising to me at all, and it shouldn't be surprising to you either, because every state has the ability to do whatever they want, and we need to understand this. A lot of people don't, but we all need to understand it. At the end of the day, it is a state who is ultimately responsible for anybody doing their particular bidding when it comes to voting registration and anything else in that matter. This should be important and should be very, very disturbing to all of you, because how are people not being checked to go vote? You need an ID to buy a gun. You need an ID to drink. You need an ID to basically do anything in this country. How is it that you don't need an ID to vote? This comes in the same conversation that I've had with many, many people about term limits in Congress. Why don't we have that? Why do we have border registrations just being nilly-willy? Why do we have votes being casted by mail? I can understand if you live overseas and you want to vote in your actual elections because you're an American and you care about people. You care about this country. I get that. You should definitely vote. And there should be an exception for you and for you alone. But why have it when somebody doesn't need the exception? Why is it just something that is comfortable? Why is that allowed? That is my true and honest question. Russia doesn't have it. Germany doesn't have it. The UK doesn't have it. Ireland doesn't have it. Nobody pretty much has it. Nowhere in Central America have it either. Either South America. But yet again, we think that we are so high and mighty above everybody else that yet again we have it. That makes no sense to me.
We also have that the American Climate Corps
has actually been established. Another wonderful push of our administration to basically take $8 billion out of the coffers and put it to something that means nothing to the American people. We have the issue in Israel. We have the issue from NATO. And here are the expressions of Mr. Anthony Blinken talking about Ukraine, its members, and what actually can become of NATO and Ukraine. Here we go.
This meeting has the Allied stated in Vilnius, Ukraine will be member of NATO. For us, the issue is having a good and clear roadmap to reach this conclusion. And I believe that the NATO summit for the 75th anniversary will indeed be highly focused and quite concretely as to how we can establish this roadmap, or to use another image, the bridge, the necessary bridge to allow Ukraine to become a member of NATO. And with respect to Iranian missiles, which are being sent to Russia and are being used against the Ukrainian people, indeed, we did mention it. We are working together to try to interrupt, at least penalize any support of this nature, be it from Iran, North Korea, or elsewhere, including China, and this is also something that will be mentioned probably with our NATO colleagues in the coming days.
And there you have it. It has been said before by the actual Secretary General of the UN that it is not a matter of if, it is a matter of when Ukraine actually becomes a member of NATO. I don't know how you all feel about it, but I think that as an actual bloc, NATO is pushing Russia to be the first person to fire. And it makes no sense for Russia to do so. Putin has actually said it before. And I think that he will say it again, again and again. It makes no sense for Russia to get into a conflict with NATO. In the same token, NATO has pushed the boundaries and the actual patience of Russia for many, many years. In the past 20 years, they have expanded about 7 to 8 times, including the last push of adding Sweden and Finland to NATO. An actual push that is not one that Russia wanted. And I understand that if you have 20 countries all together, why not try to push the boundary as far as you can? In the efforts of just understanding what is actually being done. I understand that. I respect that. But now I think like an enemy. And I put myself in the position of Russia. BRICS is out there. It's been around for 20 years. It is very close to surpassing NATO when it comes to actually GDP growth, when actual trade within the countries that are members of it. What is stopping BRICS from becoming an actual military powerhouse? China's part of it. It's basically the revival of the Axis and the Allies. It's exactly the same way as World War II all over again. Why is this being had? Why is this happening? Then we see that on top of it, this is something that is not on Twitter, it's actually on my other screen, and I'm going to switch it over real quick. Something that actually was said today by our president. Biden warns Xi on aiding Russia's war in Ukraine. And here's the actual gist of it. U.S. President Biden calls President Xi of China on April 2nd, the first call after the two met at the April summit for extensive discussions and agreements reached. In it, Biden continued the discussion on topics related to Taiwan, the South China Sea, and also raised the issue of China indirectly helping Russia build its defense capabilities in Ukraine. So not only is Russia being backed into a corner, now China is being actually smacked around by the President of the United States, which I find it kind of comical, because I don't know if you have looked, you know, the actual President of the United States currently, he doesn't seem to be that strong-fisted and hearted like everybody else says. But yet again, that's what's happening. Country divided, like we are right now, with issues like immigration, abortion, which is another thing that is actually coming up in the ballot, apparently, because people care about that. It's really interesting. We also have that there's an opinion piece on the danger of making a religion of politics. We're already there, people. I don't know why you're making it seem like, oh my God, it's so crazy. It's not. It's not at all. People take it as a religion, unfortunately. I don't care about Tesla sales dropping. Another Chavez Day or White House Day. So now we've taken, in 2004, Cesar Chavez's day was actually made on March 31st, and it was taken away from him. An actual leader for the actual workers, farm workers, across this nation of ours was taken for Transmissibility Day on Easter Sunday. And I was there on the White House trying to get in to get the expressions of somebody that was around me, but I couldn't. And it's very, very, very disheartening. And I find it very, very disrespectful to anybody that follows Jesus Christ like I do, because in all honesty, it makes no sense why we're peddling to the 0.001% of the population of the United States of America instead of the 20% that respect Cesar Chavez's day and the 60 to 80% that actually respect Easter Sunday. Makes no sense to me. But here we are. We also have that Biden and corporate America, it's complicated. Another interesting piece. For all of you who are thinking and wondering, why am I blobbing about all this stuff that are happening? A lot of things have happened in a week. And there's no way that I can cover all of it, unfortunately. I don't have the manpower. I don't have the time to do it all, unfortunately. But I just wanted to give you the stuff that are happening for today and talk a little bit more about the things that happened this past week. These are the events that happened on today. The things that happened on last week are very extensive because we have many, many, many forms of the same, but in a geopolitical sense. We have that 10,000 of mainstream journalists are laid off in what is being called the extinction event for corporate journalism. And that is something that it should definitely concern all of you. Because now mainstream media is pushing away from having real journalism, and they're just going to be propaganda machines. More so now than anywhere, than any other time. That is number one.
I apologize, there was an actual pause in the video because there are some breaking news that are happening right now. And it is unconfirmed, but currently there is an actual watch in the Middle East, specifically with Iran attacking the actual nation of Israel. It is not confirmed. It is not something that we are seeing currently in any of this stuff. So we were trying to confirm, and by when I say we, it was Joseph Trevor and myself, we're trying to confirm if this is actually news and if it is actually truth, because it is trending hard. I mean, like really, really hard. I normally search on Google Trends, and then I have different pages and different stuff where I actually look for, and you're able to see it right now. I will look at the Associated Press. Normally they have something about it. Nothing so far. They haven't updated anything. There is a lot of information about, you know, the right group saying that Israel struck a building with 106 people in it and killed them. Not the case for the actual news that we're looking for. We also look at different articles that are written in Israel and Jewish, nothing. Just the indications themselves, nothing on Google Trends. And then we do Iran attack on Israel. And there is nothing here so far. There is a big uptick on the 23rd, on October 7th and everything else. And right now people are starting to search a lot of it. But there's incomplete data everywhere in the U.S. And you can see here how people are searching for this particular topic because they're looking at it actually, you know, in the Middle East and whatnot. So people are going insane right now. And you can see the trends, how they're going and how the patterns are moving. Nothing on this particular subject. So I'm going to call it BS on this one. So we haven't necessarily seen anything. There's no comprehensive data on which of the states are looking for. What are they looking for particularly? And you can see how the trend is working and everything else. And again, the uptick is in October, nothing else. 2023 attack leads to Israel invasion, nothing. Nothing that gives me the warm and fuzzy saying, yeah, this is actual news to be reported on. So no, no, and no. It is not truth. So, on that note, everything is being pushed to, at this moment, for World War III to happen. That's what people are saying. I don't know. I don't know how to feel about this particular comment from a lot of the people around the world. Because, unfortunately, we don't have a crystal ball. I wish we could see it. Have I been right about a lot of the things that are happening? Correct. I have. Have I been wrong? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Probably have been wrong. I haven't been proven wrong. But I probably have been wrong. What can we do as the actual people of the world to continue to face things out as we see it? We have to be ready. We have to be prepared. I'm not saying become a prepper and have like freaking stores of food and 20 years of water. I don't know. But be resourceful. Think like an enemy. Be protected. Protect those that you care about. Protect your family. Protect your children. Have the ability to actually hunt. If you don't know farming, I will urge you to start learning how to farm. How to do things in a way that was done in the past, but it has been lost. I will urge you to start thinking like an enemy. How would people try to take control of the United States of America, and how can you take control of the situation that's around you? That's what I would do. That's what I'm doing. I farm in my house. And my wife, she has a very green thumb. God bless her for it. I have guns, because that's what you should do. We have books, because if push comes to shove, we can show our son what America once was. And the ideas and the actual, I would say, the actual notion that our nation was founded for the right reasons. Not for people to make you believe that it was wrong or that it is wrong. We have God. We have a Bible. My wife, necessarily, she's not that religious, and I'm okay with that. That is her actual constitutional right. But I am. I want my son to be able to say, thank you, God, for everything you have given me today. Thank you, God, for another day. And I hope that you can bless me every single day of my life. I want to understand that people in the Bible went through a lot of actual, would say, hardship to get to be in the glory of God. Just like the hardship that he has gone through in his very little age. He has cerebral palsy. He has epilepsy. He's a warrior. He's somebody that I actually admire. At his young age, I admire my son. I can say that in front of a camera. Because that little bugger, he is something else. He is a very resilient little boy. He's an interesting, charming, very, 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 very smart. For having cerebral palsy, he's a very smart kid. He knows how to manipulate others, which I think is funny, and I think every parent goes through this, but I digress. This is not a podcast about fatherhood. We will have somebody that does a podcast about fatherhood, or fatherhood, and we're definitely going to talk to him about, you know, his experience with fatherhood. A couple little questions, so stay tuned for that. No actual war in between Israel and Iran so far. Ukraine is joining NATO more than likely within the next 6 months or so. Russia continues to have the issues that Russia continues to have with this push. China continues to move on Taiwan very shortly, very slowly, very methodically. And America continues to peddle to the idea of having illegal immigrants coming in and voting. That's where our world is at. What can you do about it? We talk about it. But what are we doing about it? register to vote, get these knuckleheads out of office. If you feel that your actual local community is not good enough, run for office. Even at the county level, why not? Why wouldn't you? What is stopping you from becoming the best version of yourself that is going to serve as a people around your community? Nothing other than yourself. I'll tell you what I'm doing about it. I'm talking to everybody and their mother that I can about the ability to speak to others. I give my time. I do the research. I continue to move forward when it comes to my push for this nation to become the best nation that it can, because I believe in it. Well, my son too believe in it, and everybody around me. So exercise your freedom of speech. Exercise your right to vote. The privilege to vote, because it can be taken away from you. Continue to believe in God. Continue to do the things that make you the best version of yourself. I apologize for the pause in the beginning. I apologize for a little bit of the roughness that we've been having in the last, you know, episodes. I need somebody to come back and forth. And if one of you that is listening to this want to come into the podcast and talk to me, I'm all ears, brother or sister. I'm all down for it. So thank you again for your time. I really appreciate you. God bless you. God bless America. And I will see you in the next one.
That's it for this episode of Think Like the Enemy.
We hope you've enjoyed the discussion and gained new insights and perspectives on today's issue. If you did, please leave us a rating and review on your favorite podcast platform and share this episode with your friends. You can also follow us on social media and send us your feedback, questions, and suggestions for future topics. Thank you for listening. And remember, the best way to understand the world is to think like the enemy. Until next time, Frankie A. Miles, signing off.